Every one of these kids brings their Bibles every single Sunday. That is how we write our scriptures on our foreheads and things like that. And so this is a great group. And then we also, I'm going to tell you about these vines here in just a second too, but they work on those things, and then they participate, they sing songs, and most importantly, they tell their friends about church. How many up here have actually invited someone to camp, church, or Bible school? You think about it. Anybody? Yes, I know y'all have. They bring their friends, and we love to meet their friends and see their friends. Okay. All right, so if y'all will just stay here, I'm going to... Okay. All right. Our new kindergartners will move from this building over here over to the summit. I'm going to see who's in the house today. We're excited. All right, this is our first one. Zoe, I know Emmeline's here. Zoe's not here. Okay, Zoe Stone is one of them, but she's not here this morning. How about Emmeline Roberts? Come on up here. Stand with Sissy. All right. All right, how about Jeremy Ward? Jeremy's in the house today. It's okay. Let's see, where's brother? Oh, he's in the back too. Okay, well, that's okay. Jeremy, you can, if he wants to just wait right there, he can. So let's give it up for Jeremy. He's coming up with us today. It's okay. All right, where is Stetson? Stetson Malak, come on up here. Yay, good job, stand right there. Okay, you stand right there. Okay, good job. How about, I haven't seen Isaiah. I don't think the Barnes are here this morning. Or Matthew Taylor. I don't think I saw him this morning. Okay, so we have... Right now, there's seven of them that are moving up, and so we're excited to have these up here, and in just a minute, I'm going to take you guys, we're going to have like a private tour of the summit during church, okay? So y'all will just go with me and my daughter Becky here in just a minute, okay? The four of y'all. Well, hey, oh my goodness! Did he go into kindergarten? I'm so sorry. I didn't know you were already that old. All right. This is Mr. Bricks Morrow, and you are old enough to be a kindergartner, too. Well, let's get you over here with your buddies, and y'all give him a round of applause. So, all right. That looks great. Okay. So now what we're going to do, okay, you guys, if the kindergartners, y'all can just sit right there on that step. Y'all can even sit down too, because you can turn around and see the video here in just a second. Okay. Y'all take a seat. All right, I have more pictures to show y'all this morning. Now I'm going to recognize our sixth graders that went to seventh grade. These are the kids that... have now been here ever since the very first Sunday in 2017. Yes, so this morning, let me see who all is here. Okay, this morning, I don't think Jackson Benford is here. I knew he was out of town last week, but I don't think he is here this morning, so we can skip his pictures. How about Brazos? Is he out here? Nope. Okay. Brazos Wyatt is one of ours, and he's went into seventh grade. Okay, let's go to Knox. Will you come up here for me? All right, come on up here. This is Knox's first day in the summit. Where are you, buddy? Come on up here. All right. Look how tall he is. All right. Knox, look around. You can see the pictures. Go ahead and go. We also have a picture of him being baptized by his dad. And then we have a picture of him at camp. So Knox has grown up and has been such a wonderful time. I always like to give the kids like a message, a word to take to the youth group. And so Knox, I'm giving you the word soar, okay? And your verse here is Isaiah 40:31. It says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So it is now your time to soar in the youth group, okay? All right, you can sit down. Okay. All right, how about Clayton? Come here, Clayton Green. Look at him. Look how little you look. All right. So we also have his next picture. It's his baptism several years ago. And then we have one from, I believe, this year. Yes. Where he plays in the talent show every year and does a great job. So Clay, your word that I'm giving you is steadfast. Psalms 1:3. This reminded me of you from camp. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. So you be that steadfast person in the youth group, okay? Okay, good job. All right, Kinley. Come here, girl. Kinley Prescott. Did you know I had that picture? I had to get this picture from your mom because you weren't here when you were baptized. What church was that in? First Baptist in Bangs got to do the honor of baptizing this young lady. But we had the honor of seeing you here. This is one of my favorite pictures from your summer trip. Is from Africa. Kinley has got a beautiful spirit and loves to take care of babies, and she had that little baby strapped to her back quite a bit, didn't you, while you were up there? Kinley, your word is ascend, ascend. Esther 4:14b says, and who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? And Kinley is a leader with all of the other children. I'm going to miss having her in there. She loves to help with the little kindergartners, and so she's always been a great help. So we know you'll do great things in the youth group as well. So there you go. And our final one was Mia Gonzalez, but I didn't see her this morning either. So those are our, we've got seven that are going, bringing in eight, seven are going to the youth group. So we are very thankful for the new youth building that's already out there on our property. And I am just excited to be able to move those kids are going to be a wonderful addition. So to close out tonight, I wanted, our theme for the whole year was to thrive. And the children were made to thrive. It's kind of covered up, but if you see the pictures of these vines, we have a tree in the summit. Let's see if we've got the picture of the tree. There's our tree. This is a beautiful work of art and love made by Alyssa Hiltz, and it even lights up, so it's wonderful. And we had that put in, she built that a year ago. And we decided we would add, it was mainly the older kids, would add vines. And these are some of the vines that I brought over. Most of those are being flipped over from the other side. They're hit the bottom and they come over. And anytime they memorized a scripture or they did something where they were thriving, they built a vine, and now we've got to go hang their vines and add those to our tree. So they have been working. Our acronym for THRIVE was, the T stood for trust that God always has a plan. Help, H was help those around you. R was read your Bible. I was to invite someone to church, V was to visit the lonely, and E was to encourage each other. And so with that being said, each of these kids have thrived. And I want to finish with our video, kind of our whole year in one song, which of course is called Thrive. So enjoy.
Weary land where many a dream has died. Like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire. Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just Father's heart. Into the world we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to
there you have it. That was a busy year. All right. So let me have everybody quiet up here. I'm going to ask Pastor Chris if he will come pray over you guys as you go out into the schools. And then everyone will take a seat back with Mom and Dad, and the kindergartners will go with me. So it's going to be fun.
First of all, let me just say again, thank you to all of you who volunteer over here. And they've been out of room for a long time. Praise God. But we're seeing that to that in the new building. We're going to have a very, very nice children's wing for all these children. And to even make more room for more children to come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're excited about that. And I want to thank you. We could not do what we do around here without volunteers. So thank you to each of you who volunteer to be part of this ministry. And I can't think of anything to be involved in greater than helping children and teenagers come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. With that said, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And again, we thank you and we just are grateful, very, very honored and grateful for the privilege of being part of these children's lives. And we pray that you continue to bless them and the ministry that they're part of. And we pray that you would bless the ones that are moving up in a very, very special way, and the little ones that are moving in a very special way. And may all these children thrive in their relationship with you. May they grow up, learn, and understand what it means to have a personal, intimate relationship with you through faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for our security team that not only watches out for the summit, but takes care of all of us and watches out for all of us. And we thank you and praise you for them as well. And Lord, we just look forward to the future. And we thank you for the great privilege that you have given us to leave a legacy of faith for all that come after us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You guys stay with me. Except you three. You guys stay with me. Y'all can go find your parents. Come here, Jeremy.
Well, where the big ones are going?
They're
going
to stay in.
Okay, church family, let's take a moment. We're going to continue worshiping the Lord today, but let's take a moment and let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Some of us come here with a lot of stuff going on. We're just super busy. Some of us come here with hurtful things going on in our lives. We're dealing with difficult things in life. And some of us come here and right now it's just all good, right? And so praise the Lord for that. But what I want us to do is take just a moment before we continue in worship. Let's get our minds and our hearts focused on why we're here. We're here for Him, not us. Amen? We're here for His glory. We're here to learn to love Him. We're here to allow God to take His truth and put His truth in us so that we can thrive. And so let's take a moment and just go to the Lord in prayer this morning before we continue. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and again, we thank you. What a blessing. What a great blessing to have this children's ministry. And we thank you for all the people that you've called to be part of that. And Father, today we want to continue to lift up Tim to you. And who's dealing with cancer, and Vicky, who's dealing with cancer, and we pray for their treatments, that you would use those treatments to benefit them, be a blessing to them, and bring healing to them. Father, we continue to lift up Todd. We pray for protection from infection, and we pray for continued healing for him. And today, Lord, we pray for a friend of mine, Bruce, who's a believer and is the president of this architectural firm we've been working with. And just a few nights ago, his daughter-in-law lost her baby at 8.5 months. So we lift up her to you and this family that's been devastated by this this morning, and I thank you for the conversation that I got to have with Bruce about their faith and how they trust you as the sovereign Lord of the universe, and they know that you have a plan, and they trust in that. And so I thank you for that, but I just pray for your comfort, your love, that they would even experience your peace, and most of all, your presence during this super difficult time in their lives. And so, Father, help us to take all the different things that are going on in life, and right now, just lay all those things at your feet, and for 1 hour, just love you. For 1 hour, focus on worshiping you, honoring you, glorifying you, and being a blessing to you more than we ask you to bless us. And so turn our hearts and our minds to you and show us your truth. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth and not in the flesh. And we pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now, and in the waiting, the same God who's never late is working all things out, working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now, and in the waiting, the same God who's never late is working all things out, working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will, and I choose to pray. Choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names, that nothing can stand against. Oh, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will. touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. Turning lives around, I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you work. Even when I don't feel it, you work. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you work. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. 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 Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keep light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? More abundant and free. word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
Thank you. We thank you for these kids that some of them haven't been here that long, some of them have been here almost their whole lives. But we get to see this testimony through them of how good you are to this church body. Not just the shelter that you provide us, the buildings that we're able to meet in, the funds that come in, you put it on people's hearts to give. God, there's so many ways that you have blessed us that we don't have time in this service to count them all. But I pray that we acknowledge that we would move in a heart of gratitude towards you. And Father, give us ears to hear your message today. Show us where to apply it to our lives as always. Help us to walk in that this week, not just check off our good Christian thing for the week that we came to church. Give us that desire and passion to seek you out, to dive into the word for ourselves, not just take Chris's word for it on a Sunday morning. Chris is an incredible blessing to this church, but you ask for a one-on-one relationship with each of us. So I pray that you would drive us to that this week. We thank you for this beautiful morning. You've given us all these beautiful kids that are running around. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. You know, Matt brings up an incredible truth in that prayer, and that is that God has provided a way for you to have an intimate, personal relationship with him through faith in his son, through his one and only son, the Bible says, his one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. And so that's God's purpose for your life more than anything else. More than you living and working and building your own little kingdom here on planet Earth, his purpose is that you know him and that you love him and you know him intimately, because nobody's loved you more than your heavenly Father, who let his only son come down here and die on a cross to take your place, amen? To take our place. Nobody's ever done that for you except Jesus Christ, okay? We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5 this morning. And you know what? Let me just tell you that I love you. And then let me just share one thing I love about you. I've pastored this church for over 14 and a half years now. I've never been in a church that has this kind of unity. And there are reasons for that that I won't go into. But churches get caught up in doing things man's way instead of God's way. And we try to be very, very careful here. We're not perfect, obviously. I don't even know where I'm wrong some of the time. But we try to be very careful and very intentional about doing things God's way here at Grace Bible Fellowship. That was our intent from day one when we were meeting in a living room with three other couples. And we tried to stick to that. We never apologized for it. We're not going to change. We're not going to do things the way you did it at your last church. We're going to do everything we can to do things God's way. And here's one of the things I love about you. I don't hear a lot of complaining about our culture from you. And I go outside of this group of people, and that's almost every conversation. Complaining about the culture that we live in. That's a lost cause. That's a lost cause. You might as well give it up. What I love about you is that we are creating a culture for our children, for our teenagers, for all who follow us long after we're gone, to know what it means to have an intimate relationship with God through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what this church is about. That's my vision for this church that I feel like that God has given me. Don't complain about the culture. It's a lost, stinking cause. Create a culture. Create a culture, Chris, according to my truth. Because this is the absolute truth for all of life. So teach it to your children. Talk to them about it when you tuck them in at night. Talk to them about God's word, my truth, when you feed them breakfast, when you're taking them to school. Do these things and I will bless you. I will bless you and I will bless your family. And that's the great thing about Grace Bible Fellowship. We don't sit around complaining about the culture. We pray about God and what He would have us doing to create a biblical culture for all who follow us. And I absolutely love that. I absolutely love it, and thank you for it. I've entitled this sermon, For Freedom. You'll see why here in a moment. Before putting their faith in Christ, the Galatians were in slavery to idol worship. And then they came to Christ. And then the Judaizers came along who said, you know what, we're okay with believing in Christ. But they didn't understand that Christ came to usher in the new covenant that would take the place of the old covenant. All the sacrificial systems and rituals that the Jews had to go by. And so the Judaizers told the Galatians, look, we're okay with you believing in Christ, but it's got to be Christ plus you following all these rules and all these rituals from the old covenant. And Paul goes, whoa, wait a minute. Paul is telling the Galatians, don't go backwards. Stand your ground on the truth of the gospel. Christ is enough. Jesus Christ is enough. When you put your faith in Christ, God then applies His grace to your life and justifies you once and for all, the Bible says. And so picking up in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, Paul says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Free from having to continue to try to perfectly obey all the laws and keep all the rules and all the regulations and all the rituals of the old covenant. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to this yoke of slavery like you were when you were involved in all this idol worship. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, like the Judaizers are telling you you need to receive, if you receive circumcision for your salvation, then you need to understand Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision. By the way, that was the symbol of the old covenant, right? Like baptism now is the symbol of the new covenant in Christ Jesus. Amen. And Paul says, I testify again to every man who receives circumcision, who's seeking to be justified by it, that he is now under obligation to keep the whole law. You see, once you start going back to rule following and rule keeping, you then obligate yourself to all of God's law to be justified. And Paul says, why in the world would you do that when you're now under grace? When God has applied His grace to you, when you put your faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, as your only way to be justified. Paul says in verse 4, you've been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you've fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love, meaning the love of God that is now in you because of the grace of God. And Paul says in verse 7, you were running so well. Man, you were doing great when you were focused on grace through faith. Who has hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion, you need to understand, Paul says, this persuasion did not come from God. It did not come from God who calls you. And then Paul gives them this warning. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough, meaning a little of this false teaching, if you let it in, will begin to permeate and alter the whole person or alter the whole church. And then Paul says this, and I love this. He says, look, I have confidence in you. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. Look back at verse 1. Paul says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. And so Paul is saying here, listen, Jesus Christ set you free for the purpose of living in freedom. In fact, the Greek here literally reads, and I'd write this in your notes, I'd memorize this because this is awesome right here. In the Greek, it literally reads, for freedom Christ freed you. For freedom Christ freed you. Now that's worth memorizing, amen? Well, freedom from what? I'm glad you asked. We're going to talk about that. Point number one in your notes. The Bible teaches that Christ has set us free from living under the slavery of guilt, fear, condemnation, and death. All of those the result of sin. Christ has set us free from living under the slavery of guilt, fear, condemnation, and death. You can go back to Genesis and read all about that. And you'll see all four of those things right there. However, when we put our faith in God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says we're set free from all those things. We're set free from all these things that came into our lives as a result of sin. God's grace removes all these things from our lives when we trust in Jesus Christ as our only Lord and Savior. Look at what the Bible says in 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as God himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and don't miss this. And the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from what? All sin. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:8 through 9. Who will sustain you to the end? Guiltless. In the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful. There goes guilt. Hebrews 13:6, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. There goes fear. Romans 8:1-2, therefore there is now no condemnation. There goes condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. It sets you free from the law that brought sin and death. And it is ushered in now eternal life. Put another way, God, by his grace, did for you what you could never do for yourself. Christ Jesus has freed you from the bondage of sin, guilt, fear, condemnation, and death. Therefore, Paul warns the Galatians. Look at verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, if you start relying on your own efforts again to be justified, then you need to understand Christ will be no benefit to you. And as we learned last week, it's the freedom from these things and the grace of God that actually motivates the believer, gives him or her a deeper desire than ever before to walk in obedience to his or her Lord. Put another way, our freedom in Christ was never meant to allow you and I to live this life to please ourselves. Our freedom in Christ, God's grace applied to our lives, was always meant to motivate us more than ever before to have the desire to live a life that's pleasing to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave up everything on our behalf. One commentator writes, "This freedom offers us a new lifestyle. Now we have the ability to live by the Spirit's power. We're free to obey God and do His will joyfully. We can love, we can serve others. We're able to enter into the Lord's presence through prayer, experiencing a close personal relationship with Him. Before salvation, we couldn't take advantage of any of these benefits. We were slaves to sin, but now we can enjoy them to the fullest because Christ has set us free." And so Paul encourages the Galatians to stand firm in their newfound freedom in Christ and not allow themselves to be fooled by these Judaizers, these false teachers, into returning under this yoke of slavery. And in those days, a yoke, it was a big wood harness that was put around the neck of an animal to inhibit its movement. And with the yoke around its neck, the animal was forced into submission to the master. And in much the same way, the yoke of legalism restricts the individual and forces him or her to abide by a strict list of rules to be pleasing to his master. Whereas God's grace is so freeing, it provides the believer with even more motivation and power to walk with God in a personal, intimate relationship with their Heavenly Father and not just obeying rules. And so Paul reminded the believers in Corinth even. He said, "Be on the alert, stand firm in your faith, act like men, and be strong." And he says to the Philippians, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So whether I come and see you or remain absent from you, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In no way," listen to this very closely, "in no way alarmed by those who oppose you." Don't worry about them. What can man do to me? I serve the sovereign God of the universe. Amen. So I can quit worrying about what man might do to me, amen? Because I serve the God that created the dude that doesn't like me. I don't need to worry about that anymore. I serve the sovereign God of the universe. So if you want to live in freedom, you must be willing to take a stand when it comes to protecting your freedoms. And I'm not talking about political stuff, okay? I'm talking about your freedom in Christ Jesus. I repented of being a Republican or a Democrat a long time ago. And I just decided, you know what? The Lord wants me to be a Christian. How about that? I got one label, Christ follower. You can have all that other stuff. It doesn't rule my world. I'm a Christ follower. I serve the sovereign God of the universe. Praise God. For Jesus Christ, you can have all the other stuff. I don't have to worry about it. If we're truly saved, we cannot lose our salvation. However, let me say that again. If we're truly saved, we cannot lose our salvation. However, we can lose our freedoms that come with our salvation. And the moment you start adding your performance, like circumcision in this instance, to the performance of Jesus Christ for your salvation, then now you must keep all of God's law perfectly. You have now obligated yourself to keep all of God's law perfectly. And there's not one of us in here that doesn't know that's impossible. Amen? It ain't ever going to happen. All you got to do is read the Old Testament, and you'll realize there's no human way to keep all of God's law. Point number two. Number one, Christ has set us free from living under the slavery of guilt, fear, condemnation, and death. Number two, salvation is maintained by the grace and power of God, not by the self-effort of the Christian. Salvation is maintained by the grace and power of God, not by the self-effort of the Christian. Now, I'm going to say something to you right now, and it's super important that you get this. You may want to write this down. This is super important. The Bible teaches that when Christ died on the cross for you, he provided a once-for-all sacrifice that resulted in eternal redemption for the believer. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. When Christ died on the cross for you, he provided a once-for-all sacrifice that results in eternal redemption for those who put their faith in him as Lord and Savior, Hebrews 9, 12. So verses 2 through 4 in Galatians 5 remind us that we've been set free from having to perfectly obey God's law to be okay with God. But what does Paul mean in verse 4 where he says, "You've been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by the law, you've been severed from Christ, and you have fallen from grace"? Does this mean the true believer has lost his or her eternal life? No, it does not. Remember Hebrews 9. Look at Hebrews 9, 11 through 12 in your notes. "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come," in other words, grace and freedom under this new covenant that he was ushering in, "Christ Jesus entered through a greater and more perfect tabernacle, a heavenly tabernacle, not the one down here made with hands." That is to say, not of this creation. "And he didn't enter through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." One commentator says it this way: "The Old Testament sacrifices were not permanent. They only had a one-year warranty." In other words, the high priest had to re-enter into the holy place again and make sacrifices for the people of Israel every year so they could be justified before God. So what is Paul talking about in verse 4? He's talking about separating yourself from the power and the grace of Christ that is available to the true believer. Notice Paul didn't say they had fallen from salvation. In fact, John makes it clear, listen to this, if someone turns from the faith, they never really belonged to Jesus Christ in the first place. John says it like this: "They were not of us," those of us who believe and are followers of Jesus Christ, "they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us." 1 John 2:19. And this leads us to point number three this morning. Number one, Christ has set us free from living under the slavery of guilt, fear, condemnation, and death. Number two, salvation is maintained by the grace and power of God, not by the self-effort of the Christian. And number three, when a believer returns to living by rules, they separate themselves from the lifestyle of freedom offered to them by the grace and the power of Jesus Christ. When a believer returns to living by rules, putting their faith in the good they've done or maybe the bad they haven't done for justification, they have separated themselves from this lifestyle of freedom offered by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They haven't lost their eternal salvation. It's called eternal for a reason. It was paid for once and for all at the cross, but they have fallen from a lifestyle of grace and all the blessings that go along with that. They are now seeking to live the Christian life unaided by grace and unaided by the power of the Holy Spirit, because now what they're doing is they're trying to live out the Christian life in the flesh instead of in the Spirit. When operating under the new covenant of grace, the believer is then motivated, empowered, and upheld by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what it means to live a Spirit-led life. That's what it means to live by the Spirit. Let me give you a few examples of what I'm talking about this morning. To worship God, listen to this very closely, don't miss this. To worship God for His own glory from a heart of love and a heart of gratitude is to live by the Spirit. To worship God for my sake or to impress those around me and just to get a blessing for myself is to live by the flesh. Let me give you another example. To witness to another person, relying on the Holy Spirit to convict, is living by the Spirit. To witness to another person, hoping to impress them with my knowledge or my convincing arguments, is to live by the flesh. And it grieves the Spirit when we worship in those ways or when we witness in those ways. Now look back at verses 5 through 10. Paul says, "For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness." Now it's important to understand what Paul's saying here. That phrase, the hope, actually means the assurance of. It's not like the what we hope for in America. We hope for rain tomorrow. And maybe if we're lucky, we'll get rain tomorrow. Whenever that phrase is used in the Bible, the hope, it's referring to the assurance of something. Okay? And so Paul's saying, "For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the assurance of righteousness." We know it's coming. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision mean anything, but faith working through love, meaning our lives are no longer distinguished by rules. Our lives are now distinguished by the love of God and the grace of God." So in closing this morning, Paul gives this warning and this encouragement to his Galatian friends, the Galatian believers. He says, "You were running so well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" I want you to know, this persuasion does not come. Are there people that say they represent God that don't represent God? Amen. I hope you figured that out by now. Are there people that will actually use their so-called knowledge of the Bible to mislead you? I mean, one of the biggest manipulators I ever met in my entire life laid more scripture on me than I've ever memorized. But man, in my spirit, I knew it was wrong. I knew it was from the deceiver. And sure enough, when I told this gentleman that I wasn't going to help him, he gave me all kind of sign language as he walked away and yelled all kinds of brutal verbal stuff to me as he walked away. And so Paul's going, look, this persuasion that you're getting, it does not come from God who calls you. And Paul says, I want you to understand something. A little leaven leavens or permeates and alters the whole lump of dough. But then he says this, and I love this. I have confidence in you. I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. Amen and amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning.